and welcome to Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Dr. Mitch Cruz is with me today. Mitch is the author of Restoration Road and host of the weekly TV show The Restoration Road, broadcast locally on Sunday mornings at 7:30 on NBC 33, noon on MyFox TV, and 4 o'clock on ABC 21. To learn more about Mitch and his ministry, go to MitchCruz.com. Thank you, Canine Companion, 11652 North, 825 West in Huntington. Daryl and Lisa Kanapke with Midwest Plumbing and Heating, located on State Route 49, 10 miles west of Salina. You can visit them on the web at MidwestPlumbingAndHeating.com. They are helping to make today's discussion with Mitch Cruz possible. We appreciate Canine Companion and Daryl and Lisa Kanapke and their partnership in ministry. Good morning, Mitch Cruz.
Good morning, Lynn.
It's been a long time since I've seen you.
I know.
You took this summer thing seriously.
Yes, I did. And happy that we did.
Well, it's always great to have you with us. Mitch joins us the third Tuesday of the month. most months. Every once in a while we have to switch that, but when it goes as planned, he's with us the third Tuesday. As Christians, we are part of the colony of heaven. I love the way that William Barclay puts that in his devotional on the study of the book of Philippians. And that is where we have our permanent address. We view life and we respond to it differently than people who aren't Christians, not because we're better or smarter, but because of one reason only. We are new creatures with the living Christ inside of us. And this morning, and during Mitch's next three mid-morning visits, we're going to discuss how to experience joy in any situation, even deep suffering and pain. And I think in light of this weekend and all that's going on in the world, this is really an appropriate topic.
I think it is. You know, I would invite you, if you're listening today, to identify an area in your life where you're experiencing despair. And ask yourself three questions. First, are you inward focused? Second, are you going through it alone? And third, are you allowing God to use your despair for ministry to others? Are you inward focused? Are you going through it alone? Are you allowing God to use your despair for ministry to others? Your answers are most likely yes, yes, and no. I mean, that would be mine. And in the first 11 verses of Philippians, it's amazing how Paul introduces a paradigm shift from despair to joy amidst suffering. And that's the theme of his letter to the church that he helped found in Philippi. So it is possible to experience joy, to take pleasure in Christ, even when we suffer. And kind of anchoring the scale, the opposite is despair. The opposite of joy is despair or anxiety or sorrow. And that's our typical response to trials. But Paul offers a different way.
When I was driving in this morning, I was praying and said, Jesus, this is not a discussion of the theory of suffering or the theory of, you know, how difficult life can be. Just pray this morning that you will give life to the words that you're going to speak to all of us, because the reality is that life can be very, very hard, and we cannot talk ourselves out of our pain.
No.
But there is something that God can do in us in the midst of our suffering that is his very presence and his very power that doesn't necessarily change our circumstances, but we are changed in the midst of all of that. And we're going to open the phone lines at 10:30 this morning, because if you've got a question, we really want to answer it this morning, and you can share what's going on in your life, and Mitch can give you some direction. We can pray for you. If you have questions, we'll open the phone lines at 10:30, but you can begin to email now, midmorninglive at WBCL.org, and also Facebook is another way that you can connect with us. You can go to our Facebook page and post a question there. So where do we start, Mitch?
Well, how Paul opens up his letter. And first, joy begins with humility. Paul demonstrated that joy begins with humility. He called himself a servant of Christ. And that's big, because you and I have talked about this, humility, servanthood, they were all kind of negative culture words in a way like they are today, 2,000 years later in the United States. And Paul and Jesus reclaimed them to be positive words. And Paul communicated the countercultural theme that he was a servant by choice. Consequently, any suffering was seen through the eyes of a servant, eyes that refocus from inward to outward. I looked at those words, that I am a servant of Christ, and thought, what if I would repeat those to myself every day? Would I look at things differently? Would I feel differently? Would I think differently? Would I choose differently? Because Rick Warren said one time, you know whether or not you're a servant by how you feel when you're treated like one. And, you know, and don't like it sometimes, you know. So I started repeating myself, I'm a servant of Christ, I'm a servant of Christ. I had taught on Philippians at Common Ground, our midweek service at Black Hawk Ministries, where I volunteered as a teaching pastor full-time. And I shared this story about how I was trying to do this paradigm shift in my own life. You know, I'm a servant of Christ. And I get an email from a girl a few days later, and she said to remember it, she was there that night, and to remember it, she wrote, I am a sock, S-O-C, on her hand. And she sent me the coolest email about how things had changed dramatically inside her heart, and then how she interacted with other people by continually repeating to herself, I'm a sock. So that's really, if you're listening today, I'd like you to, you know, it starts there. And let's anchor the scale again. The opposite of humility is pride. It's being inward focused. You know, oh, you know, it's all about me, and we're complaining, and maybe we argue, and Paul's going to address that, and we'll cover it next month. But to say I'm a servant of Christ is this huge paradigm shift for all of life. And so I'd encourage you, maybe for the next week, maybe the next month, just repeat to yourself, I'm a sock. I am a servant of Christ. And bend the knees of your heart to Him and watch your despair begin to be transformed into joy.
And that is our natural inclination, to be turned inward. That is, we're born that way.
We sure are.
No one has to train us to be
no,
self-centered or self-involved.
I was talking about the sinful nature one morning on a Sunday at County Line with a group. It was a six-week theology, systematic theology thing I was teaching, and Dr. Jim Belier, the pediatrician, brought his group of high schoolers from Graybow Missionary. He was taking them on tours of different churches, so they ended up being a part of my class for 6 weeks. And I said, Doc, how about that sinful nature thing? I said, do you see that in children every day? He goes, Mitch, it's really interesting. He says, I never have a parent come to me bringing their child in the doctor's office and say, here, he's given all his toys away. He's blessing everybody, and we don't know what to do.
He says, and he never says no.
That's right. He says, no, it's usually the other way around. So, yeah, our natural bent is to make it all about us.
I want to go back to this word, a servant, because it really is the word slave.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between a servant and a slave. A servant can come and go. A servant gets a wage. A slave belongs to its owner.
Right. And that's the power of what he's saying. He's going as low as he can. And when Rome would conquer a country, if you were a doctor, you would be a slave now, but you would still be a doctor, but you were owned.
Right.
So Paul's saying, you know, by choice, I choose, I'm owned. Kind of like the college T-shirts for the football scrimmages, you know, it'll say property of.
Mm-hmm.
He walked around with property of Jesus Christ. And again, write it on your hand, I'm a sock. I mean, it's a powerful paradigm shift, especially in our culture.
And part of being a slave is doing the will. Fully obedient to the one who owns you. And it was John the Baptist said he wasn't worthy to untie the shoelaces of the sandals of Christ. That's the slave's job. And even slaves didn't really have to do that because it's the lowest job. And I was thinking, what's our 21st century equivalent of the lowest job that any of us can do? And I think I did it a couple of weeks ago. How many of you have that big national serve-all container for your trash?
Oh, I know what you're going to say, I think.
Yeah. I swear flies would gather around ours and just take their little legs and rub them back and forth because it was, of all the good stuff, I mean, we bag our stuff decently enough, but, you know, you throw things in there, liquid and whatever, and, you know, chicken had gone in there, and I was hoping someone would clean it out, but who's that someone that's going to come to my house and say, hey, can I clean your trash can out? It was so nasty. So nasty. So on the day when they emptied my trash can out, and there was still stuff like stuck in there and whatever, so I took it to the backyard and I took the hose and I was hosing it down. And I mean, I'm just gagging thinking about it. Hosing it down and throwing detergent in there. And it got to the place where the hose just couldn't get it all off, so I had to tip it over and crawl inside.
Oh.
And take a sponge that had a really rough side to it and wash down the inside of that trash can. That is the job of a slave, to do something that is so disgusting that nobody else would do it. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of that verse that John said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Well, I'm not even worthy to clean out his national serval bin. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the equivalent of it. And that's what a slave does. A slave does for us as Christians, with a joyful heart, with a heart of love for the one who was humiliated for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we keep coming back to the topic of humility, no matter what we're talking about with regard to our lives as believers. It always starts with humility.
Well, it's a condition of the heart, because God's designed life to flow from the inside out, Proverbs 4:23. So it all comes back to that. If we don't bend we will all bend the knees of our heart to something or someone, and we're designed to bend them to Christ. And unfortunately, left to ourselves, we're bending them to ourselves. We make ourselves God, little g.
Mitch, make the connection even clearer, how joy begins with humility.
Well, I can't really be joyful. I can't take pleasure in Christ and have that be the internal and eternal pattern of my life without first bending my knees towards my Creator and my Restorer, and like you said, being obedient to Him. And so now I see everything as an opportunity to advance who He is. And there's this unique expression of Christ in each one of us. It's a relationship. It's not religion. So therefore, each relationship will be unique, and each person is unique. And so there's this unique expression of Christ in each one of us. And to discover that, and who He wants us to be, mm-hmm. and what He wants us to do, and where He wants us to go, is where we can experience that pleasure in Christ. But too often, kind of like Jesus said to Paul when he was Saul, we're kicking against the goats. And so we're not going to experience joy when we make it all about ourselves. So again, it's a big paradigm shift, and it changes our perspective, as we'll see.
We had a quote on our Soul Bites page for the Mid-Morning homepage that is, we grow small as we try to grow great.
Mm.
And that's what you're saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Joy begins with humility, but it also grows in community.
Well, Paul goes on and he says the reason for joy was the church's partnership or community for the gospel, to advance the cause of Christ. And this meant that they had surrendered all their resources for the cause of Christ. Joy was perpetuated by Paul's confidence that God, who began a good work in them, salvation in the church, would complete it. Now, these seem like nice words,
mm-hmm.
but to have them get into our lives can just change everything. I owned a business and I would go it alone. You know, the money, marketing, and management bucks would stop with me. And so I was making decisions on a continual basis. I never thought about growing up going to church three times a week. I just didn't think a lot about God's role in all of that. And did he even care about those decisions? So it wasn't until I almost lost everything, that I started to become open to this idea of community. And then Bill Hybels and Willow Creek Community Church, I listened to their messages, both messages midweek and weekend, for probably 13 or 14 years. And Bill emphasizes community at a really high level. And I'm thinking, time out, what do you mean? You know, I don't know if I have time to add people to my life when I got my business going 24/7. Those are my people, you know. And community, co-together, and unity means that we're together, as far as when the Bible talks about it, we're together in Christ. So it's those who have fully surrendered to Christ coming alongside and doing life together. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's idea of life together. So as I started to introduce that part into my life and just kind of surrender to God, my uncle would disciple me, and then I was with more people. We started a small group and kind of championed that cause at our church, because Susan and I had gone to a seminar, and I remember tossing the brochure down and said, we're not going this year, and we love this seminar. And she goes, why? I go, they are forcing us to be in a small group in these sessions. I said, what is that? I said, we're going to sit down, we're going to like bare our souls to each other when we don't even know each other. And so I said, I don't think we should go. She goes, let's just try it. I said, Miss Introvert, you want to try? You want to meet these new people? And it was just kind of shocking that she was, you know, taking that approach. So we went, And we sit at the table, and the plenary speaker does his thing, and the music and the drama is really good. And then the lights come up, and it's time to be at our table, and there's a facilitator, and they had come a day early, and I knew that, you know. So I thought, well, how's he going to handle this? And we learned that they had made an attempt to put us together because of something that we had in common. Mm-hmm. But we went around and just kind of described our lives in general, kind of the career part and the family part. And we answered a couple simple questions that related to the speaker's topic. And when we got all done, I had like a tear in my eye, and I said, "Do you guys all want to go to lunch?" Because there was something that struck a chord in me about doing life with people who understood me. And that can change suffering to joy. That one thing, it puts flesh on God. Somebody that you can actually sit there and unadulterated share what's going on in your life and have them be flesh on God and communicate mm-hmm. Christ back to you and say these powerful words, "I understand," or "me too." And to have that in your life, it's almost like, oh, God, what are you going to bring next in my life? Or what's around the corner? Because I'm going to go to this group, and I'm going to share it with them, and we're going to do it together, you know? And intimacy grows. And it's all for the cause of Christ, for the advancement of His heart and His kingdom.
You can't be in community, I don't think, the way you're talking about it, Mitch, if you don't have humility, because you have to be humble enough to realize that you do need other people, and that you're willing to not only give yourself to them, but allow them to give themselves to you.
Absolutely. And although it's not a third person Thursday, I will say it this way. Mitch did not want to do that.
A third person Thursday. We'll make it a third person Tuesday.
Okay.
We're declaring a third person Tuesday.
So I don't know what Lynn thinks about it.
You're like Terrell Owens. He always refers to himself in the third
yes,
person too.
He does. But on a certain day, I have more hair than he does. But Mitch did not want to do that. And again, you had to humble yourself. I had to humble myself to this still small voice of the Spirit in me of saying, this is a good idea. You need mm-hmm. this. And I'm telling you, after about a 10-year run of not doing this, I was desperate for it.
Something else that came to mind as you were talking, that one reason why we experience joy in community and grow in joy in community is that when we are giving to others, when we're showing hospitality or love or kindness, we can show those things to ourselves and they can bring us great pleasure. But when we share them with others, then there's a real, I think, explosion of joy, that it takes giving ourselves to somebody else, being kind to somebody else, being loving to somebody else, showing hospitality to them. Out of that exchange, then you can really experience joy that you wouldn't just having that by yourself.
Absolutely. To give is better than receive.
Yeah.
I was talking yesterday with a girl I grew up with and went to school with, and she had a tragic accident, and we were talking about her being on the Restoration Road. Telling her story, and she agreed, and I asked her a little bit about how her son was doing. It was a very good basketball player, played in college, was going to transfer to another school to play, and his credits wouldn't transfer. And he finally, prayed about it. He sought wise counsel, and he thought, I can't go backwards. I'll stay where I am, and I guess I won't play basketball. But what he's been doing is training and investing in others at a place in town to get better at basketball. And I said to her this, I said, at the end of the day, investing in them will be much more satisfying to him, much more joyful than anything he would do on his own. And she says, I know that.
Hmm.
And so
it will change him more too.
Absolutely. And I just think that it's the way God's wired us. It's like a secret. We're telling everybody a secret today, is that God's wired us to humble ourselves to Him and to be in community with Him, because that's what joy does, and to be in community yeah. with other people.
I want to go back to the verse in Philippians that mentions the truth that God who began the good work in us mm-hmm. will continue that good work in us. For anyone who's just feeling frustration about the progress in the transformation, that it takes all of our lives. It'll take the whole experience from birth to death to bring that upon us, to bring the change for us. But in one of my books that I was reading about Michelangelo, whom I just am fascinated with mm-hmm. him ever since seeing the David, and he only finished a third of what he started. A third of what he started, because he either got frustrated with the stone, it wouldn't do what he wanted it to do, or he got distracted, or he got bored, or what was in his head was just too amazing that even he couldn't create it. But God will never give up on any of us. You know, every masterpiece he has, and that's every believer. Only believers are masterpieces. Man is just the apex of creation, but only Christians are masterpieces. Mm. And he will not give up on any of us.
Mm.
Which I think is just such an encouragement to us that he is faithful even when we can't lift ourselves up off the ground, that he is faithful to us. And all we have to do is just give ourselves to him. That's our only role in all of this, is to surrender ourselves.
Yeah, I see two really important things in what you said and what Philippians 1:6 is saying. Is the first one is that it's a process. We're in process. And when you look at the process instead of trying to control the outcome, it changes your perspective of life dramatically.
Yeah.
I'm a recovering perfectionist. I have this issue. And I, as God would have it, I'm having a couple children out of my four girls who have this. And we just keep coming back to enjoying the process, measuring ourselves by our attitude in the process rather than the outcome, because we want to measure success by the outcome. And then the other thing is what you said, is that he's never going to give up on us. That's going to be happening again and again and again, and we can take joy in the fact that God in Christ holds that paintbrush in our hearts, the canvas. And it's beautiful, the strokes that he'll paint, even when things are tough. In fact, people are looking at us and examining us more in the difficult times than in the successes. So if anybody's listening today, I'd really encourage you to, rather than going it alone, whatever's going on in your life, wherever the despair is coming from, whether it's something that was 2 days ago, 2 years ago, 2 decades ago, rather than going it alone, share your burdens with another person in Christ and discover how they can be divided at the same time. Communicate your joys and watch them be multiplied.
Let me quote my friend Mitch Cruz here, because I quote you a lot. And one of these days I'm going to stop.
I quote you.
Well, one of these days I'm going to stop quoting you, because Mandisa, the singer, I interviewed her for one of the E-Women events, and she was sharing something, and she said, as my friend Patsy Claremont says, and she says, let me tell you something about the way that I quote people. The first time I quote them, I say, as my friend Patsy Claremont says. She says, the next time I use the quote, I'll say, as my friend says. And the third time, it's like, as I've always said.
Josh McDowell told me something very similar to that.
So right now, this is what my friend Mitch Cruz says, and I use it a lot on mid-morning, that God speaks to us, changes us, loves us, everything, through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. That's been really powerful for me.
And I got it from somebody else.
Whose name you no longer remember. It's 10:24. You're listening to Mid-Morning on the WBCL Radio Network, and our guest today is Mitch Cruz. And we'll open the phone lines for you in just about 7 minutes for your questions as we're talking about joy in the midst of difficult times. A big thanks to Canine Companion, 11652 North, 825 West in Huntington, and Daryl and Lisa Kanafke with Midwest Plumbing and Heating, located on State Route 49, 10 miles west of Salina. You can visit them on the web at MidwestPlumbingAndHeating.com. You can ask your questions via email, midmorninglive@WBCL.org, and you can also check us out on Facebook. We have such a mature guest and producer. During the little musical bits, most guests just sit still and take a breath, get ready for the next question. Not Mitch, not Becca. They do like these little dances of joy. I'm not sure how to describe it, but only from the waist up, because they're both sitting down. So if joy begins with humility and grows in community, a joy praised for ministry.
Well, Paul's prayer request was that love would abound more and more through experience and intimacy, so that the church would be sincere, which meant literally judged by the light. Sincere meant that pottery or marble was the same way all the way through. Potters and marble cutters would cover flaws with wax. Still happens today. The only way that their pieces were proved either genuine or full of wax was to be held to the light. When we pray for ministry, that God will use our suffering to draw others to Him, our despair is transformed into joy. Consequently, His light shines through our lives so that we reflect Christ's image. So to be proved genuine, we pray that God will use our suffering to draw others to Him. Again, a huge paradigm shift. God, take this that I'm going through and use it. Use me to draw others to You. I want to be sincere. I want to be authentic. I want to be proved genuine that I am a servant of Christ, that I am growing in community in my joy, and that now I'm praying for ministry through this.
And that doesn't mean that the joy replaces grief or any pain, because that's also sincerity, the reality of what you are experiencing and the emotions that go with that.
Yeah, a lot of people will toss around happiness for joy as a synonym, and I get that, you know, mm-hmm. that's okay. But happiness in its root comes from the same as happen, and it means for the moment. Joy is internal and eternal. And so Proverbs, I think, 12:20 says that no one can know a heart's bitterness and no one knows its own joy. They're going to be partners in there inside of us. And it doesn't mean that we pretend there is no pain. But what it does mean is that we see that God can use this and take this and make it for good. We can advance the cause of Christ through any pain or suffering. And so it can be used. Our mess, if we created it, can become our message. Our test can become our testimony. Our trash can become His treasure. But there are things in our lives that are beyond our control and circumstances that are beyond our control that we didn't necessarily bring to our own lives. And still those we can surrender to Him and say, God, please use this. And there's been a lot of that around us lately.
There certainly has been. And the testimony that happens in the midst of those kinds of tragedies, I think what is most powerful, I have friends who have been through a great loss, that I think the glory of God is very much present in those people that get up each day and can say, this has been the hardest thing we've ever gone through. God gives, God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice we make, and it's also, I think, a supernatural gracing that if you're not in that, it's hard to imagine what that feels like or what that experience is. But God promises that to us, and it's not something you get beforehand. You get it when you need it.
Mm. Yeah, just like a trapeze artist. It's His timing is there when you need Him. I'm really thinking that the heavy, heavy, potentially theme verse of Job is at the beginning, what you just quoted, and it says Job did not sin by accusing God. We have a tendency to want to blame God for the bad as well. And I just think we need to surrender it to Him. You know, again, it goes back to I'm a sock. You know, I am a servant of Christ, and so use this. I'll do it. I'll clean out the trash bin. Use this for the advancement of your heart and other people, because they're watching when times are difficult. And it can be a paradigm shift from despair to joy as we pray that God would use it to minister to others.
It's 10:29. We want to open the phone lines for your questions now. If you are going through a difficult time, if you have a question about suffering, whatever it is that's on your mind this morning, you can give us a call at 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. Email is midmorninglive@wbcl.org, and Facebook is another way that you can connect with us today. An easy way to do that is to go to our website, wbcl.org, and on the right side of the page, you can click on that link and it gets you to Facebook and you like us and then you're set to go to ask questions. All the phone lines are ringing right now, Mitch. So while Cheryl is getting ready to process the calls, let's talk about the chains of suffering.
Well, if somebody's listening today, I want to ask you that you would pray to God that you will use your suffering, that He will use your suffering to draw others to Him. You know, exchange your despair for joy as you reflect Christ's image. You want to reflect Christ just as He was on the cross, still had joy and was sharing it with others. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that the cross was His joy. So He can use you to save a life from suicide, restore another person for eternity. He can use you to free a grudge holder from the prison of withholding forgiveness. He can use you to further someone's journey to full surrender, so you can rejoice that he who began a good work will complete it. And I use that list intentionally, because in 1 week at Common Ground, our midweek service at Black Hawk, all those things happened. A person was saved from suicide. A person was restored for eternity. A grudge holder was freed from the prison of withholding forgiveness, and someone took major steps toward full surrender. That's God's business. He who began a good work will complete it in the ministry when you pray for that to happen through your suffering. Well, if you're listening today, and as everybody's calling there, I would ask you to ask yourself this question: what chains are holding me back from joy? What chains are holding me back from joy? I asked a group of believers this one time, and, you know, we made our list. And it was things like, I wish I could quit smoking, or I wish that this circumstance was a little bit different in my life. And, mm-hmm. We made a big list that was pretty much all about our own comfort or abundance. So typically the answer is one that deals with your personal discomfort rather than what Paul's chains were. What he references in Philippians is, again, a huge paradigm shift. Paul was imprisoned for advancing the kingdom of Christ. Our chains are often a result of advancing our own kingdoms. So Paul's paradigm shift links our circumstances with Christ in order to find joy amidst the suffering. Our circumstances now get linked with Christ. And so we're to link, if we're going to do that, we got to link three P's: our passion, our perspective, and our priorities with Christ.
We're going to come back to that in just a second. Let's head to the phone lines. Two lines have opened up. 260-745-9090 is our number if you've got a question for Mitch. Let's head to the phones and talk with Kathy, who's calling from Syracuse. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air with Mitch and Lynn. What's your question?
Well, I just have a comment about what Mitch was talking about, because I've experienced that joy. At the end of the school year, last year, I lost my job where I've been working for 14 years, and it was like somebody was ripping my heart out. I became totally unexpected. But through that experience, it drew me closer to God, and I have experienced that even though I was grieving for the loss of the job, I had this unexplained peace that God was with me. And he drew me to several different books to read, and every time I'd pick up something, it was dealing with exactly what I needed to hear that day. So I knew that God was with me through the whole circumstance. And today I'm going to start a new job, and I'm very excited about that, and I know that it's God's leading that brought me to that position.
Wow.
So it's true. If you just hand it over to God and just say, hey, there's nothing I can do about this. I don't know what happened, but here it is, and I'm just trusting you to lead me.
Kathy, I'm so glad you called, because I know a lot of other people that have lost their jobs, and for you to call this morning and just give this testimony is a great encouragement to them and a reminder that if they just surrender themselves to God, he's going to take care of them. He loves us all so much, more than we can even begin to comprehend. And you've spoken in such a powerful way this morning. So thanks for calling, Kathy.
And thank you for your encouragement, too. And, Mitch, I really enjoy your restoration road.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for being our illustration today.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right.
Bye-bye. 260-745-9090 is our phone number if you've got a question. If you are in a difficult spot today and you're hearing what Mitch is saying, but you have a question, or you would just like to tell him about what's going on and have him give you some specific direction, that's great. That's what we're here for this morning. About 25 more minutes, 260-745-9090. Midmorning Live at WBCL.org is our website, and Facebook is another way to connect with us this morning. All right, let's talk about those links.
Okay. Our passion, our perspective, and our priorities all get linked with Christ if we're going to link our circumstances with Christ. And if any of these three links in our chain are broken, then we won't be able to experience the chains of joy. So first, we link our passion with Christ. Paul was chained to a Roman soldier, probably at the wrist, for his passion for Christ. That was his chain, was because he had a passion to advance Christ. As a result of Paul's passion, the gospel advanced through the entire palace guard, and passion flows from the heart. I'm bringing the word passion here. In Latin, its root is suffering. So in many ways, we could see this as we're linking our suffering with Christ because we advanced Christ. 1 Peter 4:14 that I think I posted on Twitter and Facebook today, it was a blur, says that, you know, if you get insulted for advancing the cause of Christ, I'm paraphrasing, that God will restore you. The glory of God rests on you. You will be blessed. And so there's this restoration, there's this revelation of the character and presence, that's what glory is, of God, of Christ in us when we advance the cause of Christ, and we get dinged. You know, we bump into people who are doing the pushback, and there's this joy that comes from linking our passion with Christ. And so I just have three simple questions that you might say, well, what's my passion? You know, how has God wired me? And I'd like you to answer this. What gets you up in the morning? What energizes you? What makes you cry? What gets you up in the morning? What energizes you? And what makes you cry? The answer to these three questions reveal your passion. And so we need to link our hearts with Christ to experience the joy amidst suffering. What Kathy said got me thinking a little bit more about this idea. Joy is a lot like peace. You know, she used the word peace and almost as a synonym with joy as she talked. And as I've studied the Bible, I think they're cousins. Literally, in where the words come from, joy and grace are cousins. And so we're never going to be able to experience God's joy and his peace for our lives unless we first experienced his grace. Mm. And I think in a very real, tangible way, Paul's communicating that.
It's 10:37. You're listening to Mid-Morning on the WBCL Radio Network, and we're going to take questions from Joan and John and an anonymous caller. Let me say thanks to General Credit Union, four locations throughout Fort Wayne. These good friends are helping to make our conversation with Dr. Mitch Cruz possible, and we're delighted that they believe in this ministry and are financial partners with us. I would say I need to separate Mitch and Becca, but they are separated by a studio, but it makes not one whit of difference.
This is how our prison visit would go.
Let's head to the phones and take a call from Joan. Hi, Joan. You're calling from Angola. Do you have a question or a comment this morning?
I have a question.
All right.
In terms of wanting guidance with, I have a job and it's awesome in the sense of, you know, I'm thankful for the job I have. But I have a 15-year-old that I'm really feeling the need to spend more time with, because I'm gone about 11 hours a day. And some of what precipitated that is I had a family member get very ill and kind of made me like, okay, instead of asking why, ask what am I supposed to learn from this? Mm. And it kind of hit me in the face like, oh my. And just in terms of do I need to just wait this out or, you know, see what... and just a little bit from my 15-year-old asking me, you know, am I going to be home late tonight? He's not a clingy kind of person, but just that, you know, check like, hey. And I'm really feeling pulled towards wanting to spend more time with him, so do I need to look at, you know, job thing or what? And I'm just wanting some guidance with that instead of being torn or pulled.
Well, I think you're experiencing a Holy Spirit prompting because kids, even when they, in their teens, when they act like they don't, and they push away, they still spell love, T-I-M-E. So I think God is prompting you to figure out how to spend more time with your 15-year-old. And so I see a shift that maybe needs to take place, and you need to probably move from either or. Either I go help the family member or I'm with my 15-year-old to both and. how can I do both? Can we do some of this together? And I know that there's all kinds of pressures and there's all kinds of pushes and all kinds of pulls on our lives. But I took a prompting to restructure my whole life to be available to my kids for the limited window that I have them. And that's really about 18 years. I used to scoff at that because I live on the family farm. My daughters are the seventh generation that live on that spot that my great-great-great-grandfather homesteaded from the government. So I didn't get too far. But when I dropped my baby off at college, I realized on my trip back that I had an 18-year window to invest. And you have about three left. And I would respond to this Holy Spirit prompting to rearrange, reallocate your time, your talent, and your treasure to respond to that prompting, because there's very little better that you can do with your life.
All right, Joan?
Okay. I'll do the best I can, because I've got two at college now, so yeah.
So you've got the financial.
So you get it.
Yeah, and you also have the financial pool. You understand that, but really praying for the wisdom into what the next step is and what to do. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I greatly appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan.
Thanks, Joan. Bye-bye. Let's go to line two, calling from Fort Wayne, who wishes to remain anonymous. Line two, thank you so much for holding. You're on the air with Mitch and Lynn. What's your question?
Just a question I've been struggling with a little bit.
Okay.
Just a struggle over the last couple of years that, you know, Mitch had said, he asked the question, are you alone, and talked about community, and a lot of my pain has come from the community, and just a real struggle with how to deal with that and how to overcome it, because right now I don't have a desire to be in community at all, because the community is part of the reason that's caused the despair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a pastor say one time, we took all the difficult people in our church and we put them in one group. We call them elders. You know, so the church is full of flawed people, and we're flawed. And I keep coming back to the verse that we read today, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. We are all in process, and he's never going to give up on us on this side in that process. I think there are times when maybe for the health of both the community and yourself, or maybe you need to move on. But I would seek wise counsel in that, and also, again, joy begins in humility. I'm not saying that you've done this. You sound sincere, and I understand what you're saying, and I feel what you're saying. But we also have to say, hey, God, it's David's prayer in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, examine my heart. And if there's anything in me that's offensive, I just want to surrender that to you, and you take that, and you restore me, and then you lead me in the way of everlasting. So I sat down with a little girl last night who had a very difficult situation, and it was with somebody who was older than she was and a leader in her life, and she wanted to fix that person. And I said, well, time out. Let's do this. Let's see what's inside you, so if you encounter that difficulty again, that you can work through it no matter what happens. Let's say that he would stand on a chair and yell and scream. You would still be okay. Would you like that? And she said, yeah. And little tears were coming down her face. And I said, I'm going to give you four pictures, and I'm going to give these to you today. Four pictures. And that would be a Lego, a shield, a mirror, and a highway sign. A Lego, a shield, a mirror, and a highway sign. A Lego is to connect with the heart. And your heart needs restored from how you've been dinged in community. But when you bump up against this again and you go to another community and people are difficult because they are, you connect with their heart like a Lego. What's going on in their desires? What's going on in their lives, in their heart? And then the shield is you deflect their difficult behavior like a shield. You don't let that cause a disconnect. You don't pull the Legos apart when that happens. And the mirror is that you would reflect their heart back to them. Not, I see evil in your heart and there it is. But it would be, you know, I understand. Here's what you're saying, right? And all of a sudden, we're taking steps toward community. And then the highway sign is we direct them to wisdom like a highway sign. We become wise in how we speak and how we listen and the words we choose to kind of move us toward advancing the cause of Christ and making it less about ourselves. But you know, for what little I know about what you're going through, I've been there. I know exactly what you're saying about the pain that can happen in a group of believers. And forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation is the best thing that can happen. But there probably are times where maybe it's time to move on somewhere else.
Okay, thank you.
And Carla, let me just add something that our friend Dr. David Hawkins has shared on previous shows. He's a family counselor and has given advice to listeners who've been in similar situations to yours, that part of the healing that God will bring to you will come through community, even though mm-hmm. you've been injured by community. And that doesn't mean you jump into a large group at once. It'll probably start with a community of one person, a person that is low risk and safe for you, mm-hmm. and then maybe a second person comes in and a third person. And so just praying for God to bring that person to you, show him who that person, show you who that person could be, and then have the courage to begin a relationship with that person and let it develop it. And God will really bring a great deal of help and healing to your life through the community of one, then a second, and then a third, and another. So,
I think the hardest part about all of it is when you've been hurt, and this hasn't been the first time. It's just the trust in
yeah.
someone. And building that again.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for your answers. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
260-745-9090 is our phone number, 260-745-9090. We have a couple of lines that are open. Let's head back to the phones and talk with John, who's calling from Fort Wayne. Hi, John. You're on the air. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle of this whole thing.
Okay.
I've got a small business that our sales have not dropped off appreciably, but we're busy being crushed by taxes and expenses going up. So I have the anxiety and despair on that side. And on the joy side, I'm involved in a program that we're getting going in the community, which will affect all of the community once it takes off. And when I'm working on that, when I'm involved in that, there is nothing else that matters. I've watched the Restoration Road Joe Del Canto interviews to the point where I don't think they let them download to me anymore. I just like to know, I'm just fingertipping it. You know, I just hang on or what's next?
How do you see your business connecting with the new ministry program?
Well, we were funding parts of it through it, but I'm not able to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an issue. Every time I tell people that it's the community program is divinely inspired, divinely provided, every time we need someone or something, it's there. So I'm just not sure which, you know, what the business is the weight. The other one is the lift.
I love that. Yeah, I just asked because we have a tendency, and I wrestled with this. When my business was struggling, was also coincidentally the time period when I started doing chapels, or they call them life labs, at Lakewood Park Christian School. And the highlight of my week became not auctioning a Duesenberg for $1 million, but being with those kids and growing with them. And so we have a tendency that can happen inside of us where ministry good, marketplace bad. And I think that God's very holistic in how he looks at those two and how they go together. We need to be who we are in that ministry, in our marketplace, and marketplace becomes ministry. And at the same time, ministry's not going to happen really without marketplace. So I love how you're seeing how they're aligned. And then you remember then if you watch George Del Canto's videos about when he went to Dr. Wallace Henley, I believe, and he said, hey, how do I know if this vision is from God? And there were those five things. And he said that it would be about the kingdom, not about yourself, that doors would open, that it would flow from your heart, deep inside who you are, that it would be bigger than what you could fund yourself, which I thought was really interesting. and that your godly spouse would be on the same page with you. And it just sounds like that's what's going on in your life, and I want to thank you and applaud you for that.
Well, the first time my wife goes, I was blown away because we hit all five. So I guess I just sit here and wait for what's next, huh?
Yeah, I would remind yourself that I'm a servant of Christ. And I would not go through this alone. It sounds like you are, as you're doing the ministry and the marketplace, that you're going through it with people and community, but that you would pray that God would use both of those, what's going on in your marketplace and your business and what's going on in this new adventure, that you would pray that God would use it all in the trials that you're in now to grow his kingdom. And you are, mm-hmm. by making this call and people hearing you, you're ministering right now.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We have a comment on Facebook, Mitch. I'm just going to read it and have you respond to it. This listener writes, I was in a very poor and hurtful work situation. And this email, this Facebook is in response to Mary calling earlier about losing mm-hmm. her job. I was in a very poor and hurtful work situation for about 6 years. It was such a deep disappointment. I quit and retired 3 years ago, but I'm still haunted and sad about many unfair and wrong things that were done to me. It is my will and decision as a Christian to forgive, and I do. Still, it keeps coming back to me. How do I overcome this? I do know that I made mistakes, too, and didn't stand up for myself as I should have, but how do I overcome this?
Well, the simple thing is, in one little short phrase, is let go. It's what forgive literally means. And I'm doing a series right now on the Restoration Road on the four prison walls of withholding forgiveness, something that we did years ago.
It's still on our website if you want to go to it and listen, because it's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think there are four prison walls. Revenge. You did X to me, I'm going to do X to you. And then there's variations of that. There's resentment. It's feeling it again and again. It's like drinking bitter poison and expecting our enemy to die. Regret. It sounds a little bit like the Facebook comment is regret, and that leads with the mind. It's the thought that I could change the past, minimize the offense, change the offender. If I just could have, would have, or should have, then this would have never happened. And I'll be talking about that Sunday. And then finally, resisting blessing. Now, we probably get the revenge thing, letting go of that. We can get letting go of resentment. We can get letting go of regret. But the goal of forgiveness is to let go of resisting blessing, because we want to wish our offenders well before God and others. And that's where it becomes really, really tough. And I just think, left to ourselves, we're not going to do that. We have to surrender to the forgiver, Christ, in us. And I would recommend that she would go look at those worksheets and try to work through those things and see if that makes a difference in her life, because that's what's changed me. I'm sensitive. I get hurt. I want to, do all those things I just mentioned, those four R's. But the irony is, when we do that, we break apart the cross, the vertical from the horizontal. We create four pieces, and we think we're putting that prison around the offender, but it's actually around us, the withholder. So let go.
In our remaining 6 minutes, Mitch, let's go back.
I'm having so much fun.
Let's go back and finish up what you wanted to share this morning, as we're talking about joy in the midst of difficult times. And you were talking about linking our passion with Christ. Let's talk about linking our perspective.
Well, whereas passion is a matter of the heart, perspective is a focus of the eyes. Paul saw every opportunity as one to advance Christ's kingdom. And so regardless of the circumstances, Paul exalted Christ. It's Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, make the most of every opportunity. And that's what he did. He made the most of every opportunity. It's God's timing. So I would encourage you to ask yourself, hey, what's the perspective of my chains? And find a friend to pray with you to have Paul's perspective, and allow the Holy Spirit to refocus your eyes to see everything, every circumstance, as an opportunity to advance the cause of Christ. And then Paul links his priorities with Christ. And priorities are what we do first and foremost. It's got the word prior in it. I talk to my girls about this a lot. It's what we're going to do first and foremost. And whereas passion's our heart and perspective is our eyes, priorities are pictures pictured in the direction of our feet. Paul challenged the church at Philippi to prioritize Christ by walking worthy of the gospel. Worthy was the same Greek word for scales, axios, and it meant that their walk would be balanced with Christ, that they would look the same. And so I think, left to ourselves, we get in a difficult situation where there's anxiety, sorrow, despair, and we don't prioritize that Christ would be revealed. We first go through this inward deal on ourselves, kind of a pity party, and we don't see it as an opportunity to prioritize Christ's kingdom. So I'm going to encourage you today to go first and foremost where you can advance the kingdom of Christ. It might be a walk across the office to a coworker far from God. It might be a walk across the room to a spouse to reconcile your relationship. It might be a walk across the street to serve someone in need. But go first and most often where you can advance the kingdom of Christ. I know person after person who uses what we would see as just a regular marketplace position or just a typical role in life, and they use that as this unbelievable ministry for God's kingdom. I think about the lady who was that place, that house in the neighborhood where the kids were flocking. And she ended up getting a swing set, and then more kids came, and she would use that as a place to minister. You know, I think that's the watermark of ministry, the unique expression of Christ in our lives, and that's where we need to prioritize how those things are happening, and it all happens in relationships, because as we humble our hearts as servants of Christ, sharing our burdens and praying that God will use them for the advancement of His kingdom, our despair begins to be transformed into joy. We need to remember that life flows from the inside out. Our passion determines our perspective, which determines our priorities. And when we link our hearts with Christ, we can then link our eyes with Christ so that our feet will walk with Christ. And our chains of suffering will be transformed into chains of joy.
Let's head to the phones and squeeze in one more caller this morning. Tina, thanks for calling us from Holgate. Do you have a question?
Yes, I did.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to find out, what's the difference between despair and depression?
Proverbs talks about how anxiety leads to depression. It might be in the New King James Version. Anxiety or despair is kind of a divided inner being. It's I have one foot in with God and one foot out, and that foot out is usually with me. So I'm trying to go it alone a little bit with part of my life. Depression can occur when I'm now going to make it a pattern to have both feet out and trust in myself. Now, there is chemical imbalance. There's circumstances that happen in our lives. But that's when we, what I'm describing is when we have the ability to surrender to Christ and His Holy Spirit to work through us to bring us out of that. So depression, there's a checklist you can get. Of some people have 20 questions, some people have 100 questions, and you can kind of see, well, am I clicking on those? And then maybe I am. They have different scales. And again, I would yield to a physician on the chemical imbalance and things that can happen there. And Lynn, you're really familiar with
Well, we've done a lot of shows on depression. Mm-hmm. Dr. Michael Lyles is a believer and just a psychiatrist and does a marvelous job of unpacking what clinical depression is, Tina. And we just repeated that interview a couple of weeks ago, so you can go on our website and hear it. But he talks about the spiritual component, the physical component, the psychological component, and in treatment of depression, that it's really not just one attack. Most people kind of think that if I get the right medication, that's going to fix it. Mm-hmm. But medication alone, without good exercise, without great community and some other things, won't be nearly as effective. So I would suggest you check that out. And just a reminder for those of you who have a smartphone, there's an app for WBCL now, and you can download Mid-Morning and listen on that, and you can also listen to the station live. So those are a couple of resources for you, Tina. Thanks so much for calling us.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. We get an email from a listener in Columbia City. Mitch, who writes, whenever you're on, she takes notes. I hope she's not driving.
No, yeah, she... please don't drive. I'm sorry, officer. I was listening to Mitch. That's nice. Thank you.
And one of the things that you do so well for us is to really connect the spiritual with the biblical and the nitty-gritty of life, and it's showing us what it means to live as a follower of Christ in the world. Mitch Cruz, thanks for joining us. She'll be back in September for part two of our series on joy. And thanks to General Credit Union for locations throughout Fort Wayne for helping to make this conversation possible. Just a reminder that you can watch Mitch on the Restoration Road on Sunday mornings at 7:30 on NBC 33, noon on MyFox TV, and 4 o'clock on ABC 21. And he has lots of resources for you at his website, including you can find out about his book, which is available on Kindle, MitchCruz.com. Thanks for listening. Ron Schneeman is up next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free, WBCL.